are joined by Arizona Democrat Mark Kelly. A lot of people have seen the video. What specifically compelled you to put it out now?
The president has talked about sending troops into more cities, to use cities as training grounds, which means you're going to be using U.S. citizens for training of the U.S. military. We're concerned about that.
You had Mark Kelly, the senator, who is kind of at the center of this controversy over the video. Remember, we talked about this several times, but the video that he and several other former either military or intelligence community officials who are now electeds had put out warning troops in America not to obey illegal or unconstitutional orders from the president, which, of course, is just the basics of what the UCMJ says. But they did not specify any particulars, and we've talked about this a bunch. And then, of course, Trump went nuclear, which is stupid of him, and said that what they've done is seditious and treasonous and deserving of the death penalty. Now they've walked that back and said not so much. But now the Department of War is investigating them, particularly investigating retired Captain Kelly. You know, he's an astronaut. He's married to Gabby Giffords. And investigating him for whether he might have violated the UCMJ for basically undermining military morale and confidence and sowing sedition or unrest within the military. There's a particular line, paragraph of the UCMJ that deals with this. And he was talking to NPR yesterday, and I thought it was a very good interview. And I have said that I think that this case against him is absurd. It's purely political retaliation. The president's wrong. Pete Hegseth should know better, and he's wrong as well. He actually laid out what were some of the things. And, for instance, the comment by the president to use it as a training ground, so treating Americans as training opportunities for the military, it doesn't exactly comport with what the military mission is supposed to be. It's supposed to be in an emergency, you know, like an insurrection or a declared emergency. You don't declare an emergency so you can have training on the ground on American soil. That's contrary to the various principles that have to do with what is to be done with military on U.S. soil. But he goes on.
Add on top of that. That here's a president who has previously said in his first administration, he has talked about shooting protesters in the legs. In 2016, he talked about killing the families of terrorists. And when told that that would be illegal, that would be an illegal order, he said that the military would not refuse to follow his orders.
Yeah, I mean, all very concerning things coming from the now president again. And his knowledge of the legitimate use of force under war or not in war circumstances is, let's just say, marginal. Or he knows better, but he doesn't care. He says what he wants to say. And it's always kind of hard to tell with Trump. But either way, those things that he's describing being done are, you know, illegal. And so refusing to follow an order to kill the family of a terrorist or refusing to follow the order to shoot somebody in the leg. Obviously, I had mentioned the Venezuelan drug boats. That did not come up in this conversation, interestingly. Mark Kelly had other things in mind that he was thinking about when he, anyway, was making this video.
So the group of us were concerned, and we wanted to send a very simple message. Mm-hmm. Out. Something that's consistent with the Uniform Code of Military Justice, that you do not have to follow, and you should not follow, illegal orders. So we said, follow the law. Donald Trump responded with, kill them. So, Scott, I think what he's doing here is he's declaring that loyalty to the Constitution is punishable by death.
Now, again, the White House has walked back that comment that he doesn't want to execute anybody, but it's still pretty concerning that you'd say it in the first place. It's not something that somebody who understands the UCMJ or the Constitution or, I don't know, the Office of the Presidency would say. But, of course, Trump is kind of a rule breaker of all sorts. That doesn't make it okay. It just is who he is. And, you know, he has flamboyant speech. That doesn't make it okay. But you have to, in some ways, you do have to judge Trump against who he is normally. You know, you can only for so many years complain that he doesn't follow the rules of normal civilized behavior, which is true. He doesn't. But, you know, it's old to keep saying it, you know, and why bother at a certain point? You can't make him a standard to himself. Then that would mean that there are no standards. But it's also, you know, not particularly fair to just keep saying, well, he's obnoxious and brazen and says ridiculous things. Well, yeah, that's the brand. That's what got him elected, you know, in large part.
You said, and like you've said several times in the wake of this, you were just stating a fact, stating the law. Why do you think Trump and Hegseth responded the way that they did?
I don't know. I think any other president would have responded if they responded at all. With two words, of course. Mm-hmm. And then maybe followed it up with, of course, members of the military should not follow illegal orders.
You know, John, you and PJ have been doing kind of like the hokey pokey of producers this last week or so for
right.
obvious reasons. But I can't remember whether you were here or not. Were you here the day I reported on this first?
No.
Okay. Well, if you had been, you would have heard me say that this video that had created such an uproar, my reaction to the video was, of course. You know, of course, that's the law. That's literally part of what every member of the military gets trained on, is you are not to obey illegal orders. This goes back to the My Lai massacre. This goes back to the Nuremberg trials. This is fundamental to military behaviors. You do not obey illegal or unconstitutional orders. So my reaction was, of course, and then, of course, that was not the reaction that was had by the president or secretary of war. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Minor delays on Highway 29 at 9 Mile Road, about a 7-minute delay at that intersection. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody says, just because Trump says something, he says a lot of things, that does not mean that he actually gave an illegal order. If he put an order in place that is illegal, then that's when you do not follow the order. Oh, completely agree. But of course, what Mark Kelly is getting at, and by the way, this is probably the first time in history I have ever heard Mark Kelly say something that I agreed with. I mean, politically, I could not disagree with anybody any more than Mark Kelly. And I lived in Arizona for a while, you know, like, so I, you know, I'm pretty familiar with him as a person. And of course, his wife, who was in office and got shot while I was working in Phoenix. So, they're not unfamiliar to me. This is the first time he's said things that I'd like, yep, that's right, that's right, that's right. Okay. What he's thinking and what these Democrat elected officials are thinking is, well, we want to make sure that the troops are reminded that if the president gives any of these different directives that are illegal, that they are not obligated to disobey them. Now, again, I will repeat what I've said many times. They should have given examples in the video. They didn't. It would have been better if they had. In fact, what would have been ideal, and I just maybe they didn't think of it, is they should have played the clips from Trump saying some of these things and said, okay, in this case, that would be illegal. Don't follow that order. If he gives, you know, like, it would have given credibility and flesh to the criticism instead of it just being this general disobey illegal orders, which, again, is true, but can be characterized or mischaracterized either way. You know, I think mischaracterized, but can be characterized as sowing sedition or whatever. He goes on, Mark Kelly, again, in this NPR interview yesterday.
But, you know, Trump is, you know, who he is. And he's certainly outrageous and unpredictable. I don't think he understands the Constitution. I'm not so sure Pete Hegseth does either. Neither of them seem to understand the Uniform Code of Military Justice, because we recited what is in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and now he wants to court-martial me under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he's right. It doesn't make any sense. It's absurd. As far as understanding the Constitution, I think it's a fair criticism. The president indicates ignorance of the Constitution. He also indicates that I'm not sure he cares a lot about it, unless it suits his purposes. You don't hear him quoting it. You don't hear him referring to it a lot. I don't think he knows it all that well. That doesn't make him a terrible president. That doesn't make him unfit for office. I mean, I would prefer him to know it. Just like I would prefer him to know the UCMJ relatively well as the commander-in-chief, you know, at least basic principles. But see, for those of us who have always at least understood the concerns that the left has about Donald Trump, our concerns that people on the right have had about Donald Trump and about him being sort of, you know, tyrant inclined, you know, authoritarian inclined, dictator inclined, however you want to say it, okay? The no king stuff. I get why people think that. I also have, and I've said it on the, I have similar concerns, but I choose to believe, because of all of the things that I've seen him do, that on balance, he does really good stuff, and he's not as bad as they say. I certainly believe, or I wouldn't have voted for him. Of course, give me the alternatives, and it's, you know, what do you do? But I believe in our system, and I believe our system will check him. I believe our system, when he's, you know, running off the rails, he's not a king, and because he's not a king, and because he's not a dictator, and because he doesn't have the kind of, you know, plenary executive power that he wishes he had, maybe, he can't do a lot of the things he wants to do, and it drives him crazy, but the system will keep him in check. And so I put a lot of confidence in that, because if the system can't keep somebody in check, as it's supposed to do, and again, we've had, you know, people who've abused their federal power before, FDR, Obama, Biden, Bush, you know, I mean, like, you know, it's not a new thing for a president to try to push and expand their power. Trump does it more, but I mean, you know, Biden, Obama particularly did it a lot and got checked by the courts or by Congress or by bureaucratic structures or by pushback from people. Like, that's what the system is there for. And if the system can't contain somebody who may not be self-regulating in this way that I, as a conservative, would prefer, well, how strong is the system anyway? You know, if I thought he was going to, if I thought Trump could get in office and just do whatever he intended to do, I mean, I probably wouldn't have voted for him under that circumstance too. Again, you got to give me the two choices I've actually got. But I didn't ever believe that. I always figured that we have a pretty robust system that's designed to prevent abuses of that system and keep him in check. And it's doing that a lot, maybe too slowly for some people's taste, maybe ineffectively for some people's taste, but that's what it's doing. You know, I did think some of the other comments that he made in this conversation were actually very interesting. Just as a, this is a little bit of a side matter, but I thought it was a, look back to the first administration. How many times was Trump trying to do something and one of his cabinet kind of said, hey, buddy, not so much, right? And that worked a lot. It didn't always work. Mike Pence didn't always, you know, they didn't always listen. He didn't always listen when people were telling him what was right. But he did listen a lot, or did obey anyway a lot.
Big story of the first term was that Trump had those instincts, like you said, and it's been documented that there were a lot of people in positions of power in the military, whether it was Secretary Mattis, Secretary Esper, others, who stopped him, who said, no, you can't do that. Do you have any faith that Secretary Hegseth would ever say, no, Mr. President, you're wrong?
Zero faith that he would do that. I mean, he just seems to, you know, react in whatever way the president wants him to. And that's where the whole system starts to break down.
Mm-hmm.
When you have, you know, members of his cabinet that and that's any organization for that matter. You put a bunch of sycophants around you, a bunch of yes people, you do not get good outcomes. When I was the commander of the space shuttle, especially, I used to tell my shuttle crew members that they were required to question my decisions. It was not optional. And if you think we should be doing something differently, and especially if it affects safety and mission success, you have to tell me about it, and we're going to figure it out together.
You know,
I don't think Donald Trump has that, you know, an ounce of that instinct in his bones.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one because on the one hand, I do think that Trump hates to be told he's wrong about anything. On the other hand, I do remember watching like The Apprentice, and he likes people who kind of push back and stand up and fight. You know, he respects strength. It's one of the things that kind of drives people crazy about the way he talks about, you know, President Xi or President Putin or some of these, you know, global strongman dictator types, is he understands them because he understands strength. And he kind of respects that. He doesn't respect weakness. So I don't know, you know, whether the people, he tends to define people who disagree with him as being stupid or wicked or something, you know, they're rhinos because they disagree with him. On the other hand, I have seen other times where he does seem to respect that if they're, you know, if they make the case. So I don't really know what's true about him in private or in the, you know, cabinet meetings. But I certainly agree with Mark Kelly that healthy leadership wants to be challenged, wants to be to a point. Right. And there comes a point where you can disagree and then there comes a point where you better obey. But healthy leadership wants to know stuff that they don't know. And even this question that's come up is, well, don't all the military members know this? And somebody even texted in 437-1620. We all know this. We all get trained on this. It's not anything the video was needed to do. The video was just to stir up controversy. And the NPR interviewer actually asked Mark Kelly about this.
We did get us and other outlets got some feedback from some retired officers saying this video wasn't needed. Everyone in the military knows this, that you know, you're saying something that's obvious to people in uniform. What's your response to that point of view?
Well, I'm not sure everybody in the military knows it. It's something that you're, for me, at the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, I may have heard once I don't ever remember hearing it again. You know, we talk a little bit about the Geneva Conventions. I remember hearing that in Seer School. I think, you know, a friendly reminder about what the law is and that you're required to follow the law. We also wanted to show members of the military that we have their backs and that we understand the situation they might find themselves in.
You know, it's actually kind of an interesting note, by the way, that I read this thing that said, well, if they really wanted to reach members of the military, they wouldn't have put this long, I think it was a 2-minute video up on Twitter, because all the folks in the military watch TikTok, and it's way too long for TikTok. So if they really wanted to reach members of the military, they would have, you know, done it on something that they would be more likely to actually see, which is kind of an interesting observation. You know, who were they doing it for, right? Were they doing it for the news? Were they doing it for you and me? Were they doing it for the members of the military? Were they doing it to provoke Donald Trump into doing something stupid like he did? I mean, all possibilities, right? John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 all look good. Not seeing any delays either. Highway 90, 98, even Blue Angel look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
When emergencies happen in Florida, every second counts. Beacon keeps you informed. It's the new statewide network bringing official emergency alerts straight from the Florida Division of Emergency Management and agencies statewide. No hype, no ads, just clear, verified updates to help protect you and your family. Download the free Beacon 24/7 Alerts app in your app store. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Picture this, you're on a date, and then bad breath happens. Confidence gone. Here's the truth. Most gums and mints are just bad breath band-aids, but not Zelman's Minty Mouth. The functional breath freshener you swallow. Tiny dual-action capsules with mint on the outside, parsley seed oil inside, clinically tested to fight the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. It's only available online. Go to Zelmans.com, Z-E-L-M-I-N-S, Zelmans.com, code FRESH for 15% off.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Hey, baby, jump over here when you do the ooby-dooby. I ain't gotta be
ooby-dooby. You know, I actually think ooby-dooby is in Predator. I think that's in the soundtrack for Predator.
Really?
Yeah. Dug in deeper than an Alabama tick. 6:29 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. God, Jesse Ventura was so good in that movie. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, he's better in that movie than he was as a governor. Let's just say it that way. Go on, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. The FBI says it plans to interview Senator Mark Kelly and five other Democrats who called on troops to disobey illegal orders. The Democrat lawmakers had all served time in the military.
Yeah, Alyssa Slotkin says she's been getting way more death threats after this, and she fears for herself, for her family, for her staff, which is horrible. Horrible. Anyway, go ahead.
Absolutely. Efforts underway to broker a peace deal that would end the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Reports said on Tuesday Ukraine had agreed to a common understanding on a deal that would end the fighting. Apparently, there's just minor details that still need to be ironed out.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody texts in and says, do you remember when Democrats did such stuff? Yes! And when Democrats do it, it's wrong! When they abuse their power, it's wrong. And when Republicans abuse their power, it's wrong. And no matter who's doing it, if they're abusing their power, it's wrong. And if they did it, it doesn't make it okay for us to do it. My job is to remind you what the facts are and the law is and call it wrong every time it's wrong, no matter who's doing it.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. A long road ahead for the tens of millions of Americans hitting the road to get to their Thanksgiving destinations.
AAA saying at least 73 million people are going to travel by car this year. That's about 90% of those that are traveling for the holiday. Car rental company Hertz saying today the busiest day for rental car pickups. And then for prices, they're about 15% lower this year.
That's Fox's Cheryl Cassone. The FBI is looking to interview Arizona Senator Mark Kelly and five other Democratic lawmakers who posted a video urging service members to refuse illegal orders.
President Trump is accusing these Democrats of seditious behavior. It comes after the lawmakers, all of whom have military or other service backgrounds, posted this video. Kelly is now responding to the investigation, calling out President Trump, saying he will not back down.
And that is Fox's Douglas Ader reporting. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 65 degrees, cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. South Florida Congresswoman Sheila Sheriffless McCormick is charged with stealing a multi-million dollar COVID relief fund overpayment, using that money towards her 2021 congressional campaign. Her attorney, Laura Krasnoff, says her client is being targeted due to race.
DOJ decided to indict a black Democratic congresswoman without giving her attorneys the opportunity to meet with them. And I think if there's anything that we have learned in recent times, this government is willing to charge and indict and arrest somebody without actual evidence.
Federal prosecutors say the indictment does include evidence, in particular text messages between the congresswoman and her co-defendants, as well as checks written by her team that were drawn from the $5 million overpayment. Well, an investigation into a fatal shooting in Milton has revealed that the arrested suspect and the victim knew each other. Police say 31-year-old Tervon Jackson was killed at Lucille Johnson Park in Milton on Monday. 21-year-old Jaden Wright was arrested in connection with the shooting.
Within 1 hour of that shooting, within 1 hour, those suspects were in police custody. They were detained. And the individual responsible for this senseless violence was secured and being charged with the murder of Mr. Jackson.
Police Chief Jennifer Frank says the incident was not random and appears to be an intentional meeting between the two men. Both had previously lived in Milton before leaving the community, and officers say they discovered Wright and two other suspects hiding in a swamp near Pine Street after being tracked by a canine following the shooting. Two handguns were also found nearby. Wright is charged with murder. He's being held without bond. Well, Sunshine's community in Pensacola had a big turnout for its annual Thanksgiving meal yesterday, with families struggling after the government shut down. Organizers scaled up this year, partnered with other community groups. Founder Sunshine Moorer explains their mission.
If we could partner with people in the community so that we can feed everybody, because no Thanksgiving table should be without a Thanksgiving meal.
Volunteers prepared over 35 turkeys and traditional fixings as well, and donations were received from community members. The police department helped to serve up more than 8,000 meals. Well, the Junior League of Pensacola helping parents with one of the bigger expenses of having a newborn. They're holding a free diaper bank giveaway this week, or on Saturday, December 7th. And parents can stop by 2016 West Garden Street between 1 and 3 p.m. that day and pick up 50 diapers and wipes. With inflation driving up prices, comes at a good time for families. A study shows the average parent spends over $900 on diapers in just the first year. Well, City Councilman Jared Moore says he's not running for re-election. He's been representing Pensacola's District 4 since 2018 and was eligible for a third term, but he's decided to step aside. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 look good. Just some minor delays at Highway 29 and 9 Mile going both northbound and southbound. Just see about a five-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going
going to be seeing some beautiful weather today with a nice breeze out of the north, high near 71 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 42. Your Thanksgiving forecast looking lovely and sunny. We'll have a nice breeze with temperatures around 63 degrees for your high. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. Going into your Black Friday, nice sunny skies with a high near 60 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 45. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 65 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Love is in the air at Anderson Subaru during the 2025 Subaru Share the Love event. Now through January 2nd, when you purchase or lease a new Subaru, Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or you can choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $200 to Subaru's donation. And for every routine Subaru vehicle service visit, Anderson Subaru will donate $5 more to the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association. So far, we've donated over $215,000 to help fight breast cancer in Pensacola. Share the love and support a great cause at the Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation per new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share for details.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know, when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love, and love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Has been completed. The report is attached, and the suitability for the intended use of the land has been determined for the acquisition of up to 259.55 plus or minus acres of a 320-acre parcel. This is the last parcel required to construct a 2.5 million gallons per day effluent disposal system and for FDEP administrative order compliance.
This is Sandy Woodbury, who I think her current title is the assistant city manager for Milton. She used to be the grants director, and they kind of moved her up. And she, I mean, Sandy's one of my favorites. She's fantastic. She is a gem. And I was worried she was going to leave after the new city council totally blew up the deal that she spent like years working and securing, you know, tens of millions of dollars of grant funding. Well, now we're back to a different version of the deal, and they're talking about 259 acres of land right around where they are already. They have two parcels, and this is for spray fields to discharge the effluent onto the land. You know, the effluent currently goes in the Blackwater River from the current plant, and there are two parts to all of this. Part one is DEP has said by December of next year they've got to get the water being discharged, which is treated effluent. I mean, it's not contaminated. It's just it's fine to go into water. That's a common enough thing to do. But instead, you know, it's not related to the nature of the effluent that the DEP said this. It's because of saltwater intrusion moving north in the body of water that's the issue. Anyway, so they got to get it out of the Blackwater River, and that means spray fields somewhere with a pipe sending the water over there to be sprayed on the spray fields. That's this project. The other project is to replace the wastewater treatment plant with a new one that will have greater capacity. That is also in the works, and both of them seem to be happening. And this was a big deal at the Milton City Council. This is only the workshop, but she was talking about this deal to buy a big chunk of land to make the spray fields happen.
The agreed price was $6,900 per acre for a maximum of $1,790,895. The agreed price of $6,900 per acre is comparable to our paid per acre price that averages $6,765 per acre for site 1, 2, and 3.
Right. So even though that price is a little bit high, and I'm going to explain, I actually put her sound clips out of the way order that she put them in. And so I know Sandy sometimes listens to the show. Sandy, I know, but we'll get to the other part. I'm trying to put it all together in a way that I think would make sense to the audience, which is that for $6,900 an acre, this is a deal. It's comparable to the price paid for other parcels of land. The reason she has to explain this is because it took a supermajority vote to make this happen because they were paying more for it than the appraisals came back at. Okay, it's higher than the appraised value of the land, and typically you don't want government overpaying for land, but they're not overpaying. They're paying a comparable price to the other parcels, and because the land is so uniquely valuable to the city to do what they're going to do with it, it would cost the city way more money to try to find other land that doesn't really exist and have to pipe the water over to the other spray fields. And so this actually represents a cost savings, even though they're paying above appraised value. That's the gist of it.
Reappraisals for this parcel were obtained with the highest at $1,450,000. It has been determined that...
versus $1.7 million-ish, okay, so about $300,000 more.
It has been determined that the availability of suitable properties in the area and the potential additional pipeline costs for properties farther away from the proposed new wastewater treatment plant could exceed the cost between the highest appraisal and the agreed sales price.
Right. Like, even if you have to pipe it a mile away, what's the price of piping the... If you get a better deal on land somewhere else and you make spray fields somewhere else, which, again, they've been working on finding spray fields for years, and this has been a challenge to find. So Robert Leake asked the question, well, you know, how much does it cost if we did have to do that, if we said no to this?
If we were to purchase land somewhere else, what is the cost of pipe per mile to go to another piece of property?
$1 million a mile.
Oof.
And there is no property. John and I have been on this for 3 years. There is no other property within close proximity of this site that's available at this price. There's some out there, it's available, but it's across the river, and the price is much higher. We have exhausted all possibilities of trying to get land from the forestry department and the Navy outline field for this. So there is just nothing. I mean, we've exhausted two pair of shoes trying to find this piece and get it under contract.
That's Joe Cook. He's the public works director. And yeah, so if you might save $300,000 if you could get cheaper land somewhere else, but it's going to cost you $1 million a mile to get the pipe there and get the water there, which is, I mean, stupid. Also, because this is right next to the properties that they're working on now, and unless I'm mistaken, I could be, but I don't think I am, it's directly adjacent to where they're going to build the new wastewater treatment plant, which means it's a perfect place to have a spray field. It's in the backyard. You know, it's ideal. So anyway, you know, we'll come back to this in just a second because I have more on this. This is a really good day. This is a really good day. I had grave doubts about what was going to happen with the future of this project, about both halves of it getting the water out of the effluent out of the Blackwater River and the wastewater treatment plant. You know, I thought that the I still do actually think that the city council was quite stupid for, you know, caving to the Save Our Blackwater people and, you know, getting rid of the original project. And I worried that we wouldn't even be able to get this other project done. Like, Milton would not. And at the moment, it looks pretty good. Like, they may actually get it done. It doesn't make the original decision right, but it does mean that, you know, fears about it not happening. Well, fingers crossed, maybe not. So anyway, it's a good day. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly along with 90 and 98. Not seeing any delays in our area. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are really good at this. They sold 175 homes 2 years ago, 165 homes last year. They sell a lot of homes. In the height of the market when it was really hot, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, they were selling over 200 homes a year. And yeah, it's a little harder now. But everybody, it's a little harder for everybody. But they are still, you know, very efficient. 3 to 4 homes per week. That means knowledge, experience. What's the right price? What are people willing to negotiate on? You know, what are they not? What do you have to do? All of it across the board. How to stage and photograph and list and do the open house and, you know, all of it. They just have that experience. And that translates to end results. Your ability to get a good deal buying or a good deal selling or both. And one of the things I know from talking to Christina recently is she says with this market, you know, people who were doing okay a couple of years ago, it's harder for them now. And in fact, she's had clients come to her who have already had a realtor couldn't sell their house or 2 or 3 or 5 times. And, you know, she's the 6th realtor and they sell the house. And, you know, that's sad because you shouldn't have had to go through 5 to get there. Anyway, 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Back to the conversation about the wastewater treatment plant in Milton. Again, this is very good news. Robert Leek is asking about the capacity because what they need is, if I remember correctly, the need is 2.5 million gallons a day. And the new wastewater treatment plant is going to start off at 4, I think the current one does 2.5. It's either 2 or 2.5. In any case, they're going to need more spray field eventually. But there's a chance that the land they're buying now, that they're talking about approving the contract for, the supermajority vote needed to pay above list price, appraisal price, is because it might even be suitable for ribs. And with a rapid infiltration basin, you can have a much smaller footprint of land used, and you can get a much higher volume out of the land if it's suitable for that. A spray field is basically just kind of a depression in the land. You just spray the water out there like a retention pond sort of. A rib is this whole system designed to basically handle a lot of water by comparison in a small enough footprint. And Robert Leek and Joe Cook are going to talk about the potential future use of this land exactly.
What does that put our total disposal at with this purchase?
2.5 million gallons a day.
Including the other properties?
Including the other properties, yeah.
The other two that are adjacent.
And now this could go up at a later date. Once we get in place, DEP could up that quantity once they see, you know, how it's absorbing the water. So, but this is a minimum that they know that it will take care of.
This will all just be spray fields?
Yes, sir. Probably. We do reserve to put in a rapid infiltration basin.
Right.
But we're probably going to put in one. We have been discussing with DEP to at least put in one to see how it'll react. And if it'll react better than the spray fields, then we could probably do some more at a later date.
Thank you.
And that's the idea is they're going to do most of it spray field, but they're going to put in maybe one rib if DEP allows them. And then they're going to test it and see if that works. And if that works, they might get all kinds of volume out of this land. So, you know, Dave Samples, who, you know, again, he's one of these frequent flyers in Milton. I don't usually agree with him very much, but I agree with his assessment here. And I think that they are, this is an everybody wins kind of moment for Milton.
You've got gold here, folks. And, you know, if you look at some of the things on the what the Florida, the state is using for effluent. Here's a really good map. You can see it in detail when I forward it to you, but basically.
Yeah, you got gold in them thar flats. it's not hills in Milton. Well, that's sort of hills. Anyway, so good news, really a good news note for the city of Milton, which how often do I get to say that, John? Just plain good news.
Not very often.
Yeah. So there you go. It's excellent. 650 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, if you live in the area and you have questions about this story, or if you've not heard it, been tracking it, you feel free to text me, you know, 437-1620, because I know I sometimes go through these things quickly. And if you're not familiar, I'm not trying to do it quickly. It's just there's a lot to cover. And the teacher in me always, you know, when I used to teach, the question I always asked, I mean, I asked it like I'm breathing, like I give the phone number out. I ask this question all the time. Does anybody not understand? You know, most people will ask, does everybody understand? Well, that doesn't help. You know, you want to ask if there's anybody who doesn't understand. So you get the person to feel confident to raise their hand. I don't understand. So does anybody understand? You know, and so that, I don't do this enough on the radio, but if anybody doesn't understand, text me 437-1620. John, was that just practicing?
I didn't want anybody else to feel alone.
Oh,
so
okay. So you raise your hand as
just
to be
in
a
case
part
there
of the party.
Somebody else. Yeah.
Okay. You can put it down now. That's
okay,
fine.
Thanks.
All right. 651 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Winterfest in downtown Pensacola continues through the holidays with the Grinch, Charlie Brown, the Polar Express Tour, and so much more. See visitpensacola.com for all the info. The third annual Pensacola Community Outdoor Flea Market is Sunday from 10 to 5 at Community Maritime Park. Get some holiday shopping taken care of and help out Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Submit your event at newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
Right there in the Gospel of Matthew, it says Jesus is just all right, and the Doobie Brothers are just quoting scripture. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3.
Okay.
Hey, trust me, I'm rereading the Bible, you know, for the third or fourth time. So, you know, it's
okay.
Yeah.
I'll trust you.
Not what it says at all.
I know, but I'm just like, well, Andrew's in control.
Oh, he said it. You know, some people are born with a disability that I really feel sorry for them, and either born with or, you know, never developed it, whatever. You know, the disability that most gives me sadness for people, and I try to have compassion for it, but some people are born without the sarcasm gene.
I know, and
they can't
I'm worried
speak
about
it
them.
They can't hear it, they can't discern it, detect it, they and it, bless their hearts, they often say things like, well, you know, I'm sarcastic. And
No, you're not.
Now, luckily for us in our generation, Generation X, I think almost every member of Gen X has the sarcasm gene. But I have talked to people who, they do not have it.
No, nor get it. They're like, they
and
just look at you.
I feel bad because they're like, does it say that? In the Gospel of Matthew, let me look.
I don't remember reading that.
But Andrew says it. It's going to be hard for you to listen to this show a lot. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
I know, right? Brought to you by White Sands Electric, reminding you that fall is the best time to check your breakers or add surge protection. Safety first. WhiteSandsElectric.com. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, 29, 90, 98. Everything is flowing smoothly so far this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, by the way, okay, so I'm in Praise Milton mode, you know, which is kind of an unusual gear for me. It's like driving in reverse at 50 miles an hour. But no, they do a lot of good things, okay? And the staff is awesome. Like, the staff in Milton is fantastic. It's never the staff that's the issue. So although I have been praising them fairly effusively, or effluently. Okay. Anyway, they did encounter a problem on Thursday. So they had the wastewater treatment plant meeting. And then they also had the agenda kind of workshop, what they call a work meeting, or work session. And they get all the way down to the end of the work session, and Howard Steele, another frequent flyer with whom I agree more often than not, stern personality. I like Howard a lot. Anyway, he comes up to the podium. He says,
good evening, Council. Howard Steele with Saratoga Avenue. Did I miss the pledge tonight?
Oh. Did we have the pledge? Mm-hmm. We didn't actually do the pledge.
I didn't know if I missed it.
Oops.
How are you to forget that?
It wasn't on the agenda.
Yeah. I just didn't think about it.
Blame the agenda.
This wasn't on the agenda.
Heather Lindsay.
So, yeah, in our normal routine, when we have our agendas prepared, we'll have an invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance, and those two go together. Yeah. But if we don't have an invocation, we may not have a Pledge of Allegiance listed on our agenda, and it wasn't on the agenda this time. But
skip the prayer, too.
It's certainly a valid point that it's important before any government does business to recognize our oath to the Constitution. And that, I think, is part of what we feel when we say the pledge. So thank you, Mr. Steele.
See, it's just what I always said. The city of Milton is abandoning their loyalty to the country. They're abandoning their fidelity to the Constitution. They are they're turning all the right. It's a joke. It's a joke. Come on, non-sarcasm people. Try to play along. It's just an oversight. It's no big deal. I mean, it's a big deal if you do it often, but it's not a big deal if you miss it once. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Thanksgiving travel rush is officially underway. The TSA expecting to screen more than 18 million flyers through next Tuesday. Yesterday was probably the busiest day. There was 52,000 flights scheduled nationwide yesterday. Air traffic control staffing finally back to pre-shutdown levels. And so far, just about everything running on time, but forecasters are warning about that lake effect snowstorm that could cause some delays throughout the Midwest and Northeast this week. In North Carolina, Congresswoman Alma Adams wants answers from Homeland Security about recent immigration operations in Charlotte. She says the agency has not released any details, even though at least 370 people were arrested. And bird flu pushed turkey prices higher at the wholesale level this year, Andrew. But you may not know that because grocery stores have mostly been keeping prices steady by absorbing the cost on their end. Experts say retailers are using turkey as a loss leader to get you in the door. And then other Thanksgiving staples are seeing mixed price changes.
Every year.
So they're getting you on the stuffing.
Year. That's right. And by the way, Publix does have the cheapest price on bird. It's 49 cents with no, I mean, Walmart also has 49 cents for 20-pound birds. And then Publix has it for 10 pounds. If you're looking for that sweet spot of 14 or 15, you're going to have to pay more. The nice thing about Publix is you don't have to buy anything else. You know, so if you just want to buy the bird there, you can just buy the bird there. If you're still shopping, by the way, if you're shopping today for tomorrow's bird, you're going to need to rapid thaw that. Not in open air. In cold water is how you do that. Not in open air unless you want to die.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.